Hello and welcome to another What's Current podcast from NAIPIT. And we do discuss all things electrical, but Andy, we're going to do a bit of a different spin on it today, aren't we?
Yeah, this week it's a special one because we're going to shine the spotlight on a campaign or awareness week in mental health.
Yes.
That runs between May the 12th to the 18th,
Yeah.
On that, and NAIPIT have got a few things going on for that as well, so it's going to be a good one.
It should be a good one. So not really electrical, but electrical based as parts of maybe talk about our journey and stuff like that. But we want to just, obviously, at the time of recording, we are in Mental Health Awareness Week and well-being. So very important.
Yeah, and we want to, like you say, it can be a bit of a taboo subject matter, can't it, in the industry?
I think so.
People don't talk about it too much. Yeah. So.
Especially blokes.
Yes.
We're bad at it.
Yes, definitely.
Everything's fine. Yeah, so a bit of a different one. And just the two of us, we haven't got any guests or partners with us on this one. So we thought it'd be a good one to share some of our experiences. Obviously, what we've done during our working lives, from apprentice electrical through to tutoring to NAIPIT, and the stuff that NAIPIT are doing as well, to shine a spotlight on that.
Yeah.
Because it's certainly a good company that does
a lot. It does a lot. Yeah. I think that's a good part to start with, really, isn't it? We've got some themes going on this week, haven't we, in the workplace that we're doing. I know you're doing something next Friday. You're looking forward to doing.
Yes.
Let's shine a light on that a little bit then, Steve.
Yeah, so this year, the charity that we're raising money for, as you know, is the Samaritans, which does some really good work. An organisation that's been around for many years that, you know, can get people back from the brink and, you know, just talk to people about stuff if they're struggling, if they're low, you know, with poor mental health. But yeah, NAIPIT are supporting, raising money for them. We've already raised some. And next Friday will be is that the 23rd? The 23rd, we'll be doing a 22-mile walk around Bolsover, I think I said that correctly.
Hopefully, yes.
Bolsover, yeah. So there's quite a few from NAIPIT that are doing it. It's going to be a challenging one. The Bolsover Loop, I think it's called. So yeah, 22 miles, which is a lot, really. I think last year we did one that wasn't nowhere near that mileage. So yeah, that's going to raise some good money and just get people out walking together and chatting.
And I think that's a good point as well, isn't it? You know, talking and getting out into the countryside, being with nature. I know it sounds a bit out there, but there's a lot of research into it. That's really good for your mental health, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, I know for me, like, you know, I've been in a running clubs for a number of years, and where I live now in North Devon, that coast paths, the beach, the sea, all that kind of thing. It's no coincidence that when you've had a tough week at work and you can just chill out, and, you know, I've got the luxury, and I don't want to show off on this one and go, look at me, but I can take out the paddleboard, you know, I can just get in the water and do some cold water swimming because it's still only about 10 degrees at the moment.
Nice.
Yeah, my wife does it every single day, I think.
Was that one of the reasons why you moved down there, Steve,
I think so. I think we'd always fancied a rural or a coastal move, and it's like, it is at being at, like you said, it's been at that one with nature and just the simple stuff that we take for granted. The stuff you did as kids.
Yes.
But then when you get busy in life and you have your own family and you've got work going on, you just seem to ignore those things because you become very focused on work orientated, don't you?
Yeah.
So it is nice to be able to switch off, and we've had some glorious weather.
Yes.
You know, through April and May. So we've been, but we'll end up with rubbish June, July and August, won't we? Yeah. It normally happens, but.
And NAIPIT do a lot in-house as well. You talked about doing a walk, and everyone that does the walk will be raising money for the Samaritans. But they do a lot in-house as well, don't they, with the campaign, healthy eating and stuff like that. It's all linked to health, isn't it?
I mean, I've worked for a good few organisations and sort of in my training career, colleges and training centres, and they're not especially good at it, if I'm honest. And you'd think colleges would be better, you know, big sort of government-run organisations, for want of a better word. But I think at NAIPIT, it's not just because I work for them, I'm being biased here. They really do look after the well-being of the person. Yeah. And me and you, in our roles, we're both home workers.
Yes.
So we don't always get involved in the office stuff, but we're always getting the emails, the blogs, the vlogs, whatever they are, to say, look, this is doing, we're going on a walk, we're doing cakes, we're having sort of, I think this week they've been going out on walks, you know, the staff have been having little walks together with. And that might be with people that you don't normally chat to in the office because you don't work in that same department.
Yes.
And one of the reasons is that, you know, that you mentioned is about why I am going on the walk, because I'm based in North Devon. You know, I don't mind travelling up to get involved and speak to stuff I don't normally speak to. And, you know, that's good for me as well, because I feel like I'm involved and part of it, even though my homework. I know you can't make it because you're on on annual leave.
I just wanted to say that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. And he's not just being lazy.
Yeah, we're looking out on it. Yeah, I'm on holiday. I'm out the country on that date, unfortunately.
Yeah, but like you coming back to your point, Andy, they do lots here, and that's just not from the 12th to the 18th of May. I think they've got a really good ethos of looking after the individual. You know, when we've gone. We go to Bristol quite a bit, don't we, to meet once a month for us to meet up, do some planning. But also that's good for me and you to meet up because, again, home workers.
Yeah.
And they sign off on that. We have a sandwich together. We have a chat about other stuff. But also we noticed the other day, you know, they've started bringing fruit into the training centres for the staff and the students there. And just the little bits that you think, that's a good organisation to do that.
It's got a good ethos with mental health, hasn't it? Because, as we said, it's Mental Health Awareness Week. But that doesn't mean it's just for 1 week. Does it? You forget about it.
Yeah.
It's all year round, isn't it? It's a big part of the world now.
Yeah.
You know, especially from the fallout of COVID. Yeah. You know, a lot of the world did change for a lot of people, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we have got to be more aware of mental health and not play it down.
No,
you know,
not being
silly,
right.
You know, you get on with it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't man up and,
all those kind of terms. Get on with it.
You know, we've all been it, especially in the construction industry. It's probably one of the worst areas for that, I would say, from my experiences. And we need the new generation need to embrace it a bit more and have these conversations, because a lot of people do suffer with it, and especially men.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is. I think, you know, without coming across as a sexist speaker, it's certainly not how I mean it. I think women are better at that kind of thing, about talking and being more open. Like you say, men hide it. You know, so I think it is important. I think it's getting better, if I'm honest. I think men are being more open and honest. And, you know, I think in olden times, if we go show my age now, that used to be a pub thing, didn't it? You know, or you were part of a sporting club, or you played football, that would be your release.
Yes.
And I think as that pub culture is sort of dying a little bit, men have not got that release anymore. We tend to bottle up, don't we?
Yeah, well, you mentioned running clubs now. Yeah. A lot of people go to gyms, running clubs, boxing clubs. There's so many activity clubs where you can go and meet people from different walks of life and have different conversations as well. Because sometimes when you work in the same industry, some people don't. They have a different perspective if they're from a different industry. And I go, actually, have you thought about this?
Yeah, and sometimes that's enough for people. Like, you know, the nature, the walks, walking the dog, going in the sea, going to the pub and having a pint with someone, having a coffee with someone, whatever it may be. It doesn't always need to be that intensive kind of, it might, you know. And I'm don't get me wrong, I'm not a trained medical professional. No. I have got some understanding of it with family members that do suffer with very poor mental health and proper conditions and disorders. But for me personally, it's not always running to that medication route, is it? Mm-hmm. And if you have got some serious mental health issues, obviously seeking out professionals is a go-to standard, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
You know,
go to your local doctor. Yeah. And that's your first step, really, isn't it? And there's loads of charities out there. We mentioned Samaritans. There's loads out there where you can go out and reach out and have conversations on there. So it's just really, you know, find the right one that suits whatever you're going through.
Yeah.
But I think the key message is you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, go and have that conversation, especially in your workplace now. A lot of companies, not just Napier, that will have something in place for that.
Yeah, they normally have, I know my wife, we were back in the Midlands, she was a mental first aider for her organisation.
Yes.
And that wasn't necessarily because she had the skills to, but she could signpost, like you just said, she could signpost.
Yeah.
Which probably segues nicely into shared experiences. So, you know, I know for me, I wouldn't say I've had issues around serious a mental health issue. I've had periods of lowness, and I think it's been work related, if I could put my finger on it. I remember working for one particular organisation, which I won't name, is that, you know, for about probably a 6 to 8 month period, the stress and the pressure of that job, it was like an impossible job. Like it was piling on, do this. And it, you know, outside of the job role, which we all do, because at the same time, we'll put your hand up for things and I can do that, but it just got silly.
Yeah.
And I think it was a middle management position where you were getting the grief from below, and I was managing about probably 14, 15 members of staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I was getting senior management saying, do this, do that, do that. And it just became...
You couldn't win by the sound of it then.
No, to be honest, Andy, it was probably the only time I thought, I'm close to... You know, I don't want to over-exaggerate it, but probably some kind of breakdown. Yeah. But I recognised it, I did go and speak to my GP, and my GP said, look, if that's the environment you're in, you've got a choice to make.
Yes.
You know, you either walk away from it or you continue, and you know how that's going to end up. So, you know, I went and had a chat with HR and just decided we'd cut loose, and I walked away because I just thought I'll go and do something else, because I knew I was in a position where it was very, very close. It was hard at the time because there was lots of aspects of the people there and that I really loved.
Yeah.
But yeah.
How long did it take you to realise that was, you know, obviously you took the role with good intentions, by the same, but, you know, I want to do this, and then how long into the role were you thinking, actually, the weight of this, there's too much going on, I'm getting it from all directions.
I think probably about a couple of months in, because it was still shiny and new, and there was a bit of a bump up in money, so it was all a bit like, and it was a nice position, but it was middle management, which are always difficult roles. And I felt like, this is going south. And I was sat in some meetings just going, are these people really saying this to me when they know you're already under this pressure? It was piling on. So I realised probably within two months that I thought, and I stuck it out for quite a while because I didn't want to, I'm a bit like, I can't let people down. And like we said, stiff up a lip, come on, keep going, you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll get easier. Yeah, it won't be like this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Andy, that's probably one from me that, you know, was probably a time that I recognise quite a bit. And I'm sure there's been little moments within of stress and sort of, but that was probably the big one. What about you? Has it been a time when you felt that sort of lowness, or you were spiralling a little bit?
Yeah, not. I don't think I suffered as bad as what you sounded like there, Steve, I'll be honest. But yeah, I worked for a company for 19 years from my apprenticeship. And it was the days when Carillion was around, and we heard rumours that the company was, you know, in a bit of trouble financially, and I didn't know anything else. So for me, it was a bit like, what am I going to do?
Yeah,
kind of thing, you know, this is all I know, and then I'm going to have to go out and be sole contractor, try and find another job. I had a mortgage.
Yeah,
you know, all that kind of thing, car, mortgage, bills to pay, like. I'm used to having a regular paycheck, and then now I've got all this uncertainty going on. So I was a bit low. My wife, or my girlfriend at the time, she did pick up on it a little bit, you know, for it. I worked myself, you know, at that time. But yeah, looking up, it fell into place set for me. So it wasn't as bad as what I thought it would be.
Yeah,
I think it was the fear of the unknown.
Yeah, the expectation of like what it could be rather than the reality of what it was.
Yeah, so you know, I fell into work. I weren't out of work for long. And you know, as a trade person, you're usually quite lucky, aren't you? Quite a job security, so to speak.
I think if you're good at what you do, you naturally will fall into it.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you said there, though, Andy, about your girlfriend at the time spotting it, because sometimes other people will recognise it in you, won't you? Like, say, if we're trying to soldier on, it's actually someone to spot, you're struggling at the minute. And we go, no, I'm fine, I'm okay. What's the biggest thing when you ask someone in the morning, you're right? You don't want them to turn around and go, well, actually, no, I'm really, and because that can be awkward, but like we said at the beginning, we've got to take that awkwardness out of it.
I don't know if my mates and typical mates, when we meet up, we don't really ask those sort of questions. I'll be honest, it's like, you know, what's going on in the football, and you might have the little, how's the fan below, fine, and then you're moving on and you're talking about past experiences and that. So I think it's good. I don't think my mates would have went, you're not yourself, are you? I don't know.
You might spot one of them that you're probably your closest, your ones that know you well.
I think the older you get, I think you would.
Yes.
I think when this was going on, I was probably mid-20s, early 30s, I was mentally mature enough, if that's the right terminology.
Sort of emotional intelligence, is it there?
I think now I want to have that conversation. Well, you're not yourself here. You know, you might be going out a bit more, drinking or whatever the case may be, gambling and so on. But I was thinking about this before we started the show, and I was quite lucky that I worked on large construction sites during my apprenticeship and as an electrician. And with these large building sites, construction sites, you have a lot of lone working. There might be, we've done a lot of apartment blocks and student accommodations, and they might be 20, 30 floors high.
Yeah,
you're doing lone working, and a lot of time they ban the radio on the sites.
Of course, do you remember those dark old days where health and safety went mad? No radios,
no headphones in and stuff like that. So if you're lone working and you might be on the 20th, 30th floor, or whatever the case may be, and you've got a lot of issues in your home life away from work, let alone the pressure of work, and you've got issues at home in your personal life, then, yeah, I don't know what you could think about there. Without a radio, the radio is a bit of, you know, support for you, isn't it? It's a voice, isn't it? Because you're alone with your own thoughts on there. So that resonated with me a little bit, you know. Sometimes alone working can be difficult, and that's in the, you know, if you set up on your own company as well, isn't it? You might be going there every day in the van on your own.
Yeah.
You don't see anyone apart from the customers.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so I think that's a really good point you raise, because I remember those times on site exactly. That's a massive one. You know, you've got lone working, you've got that radio next to you, that's your listening in the background, it's just distracting
your
you.
Mate, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a double-edged sword, that one. So the health and safety said, oh yeah, well, if that radio's on, you can't concentrate on what's around you.
But you can't hear stuff.
Yeah, but I think that's probably more important to have that background noise and some.
I think so.
And I think on the bigger sides, that's true when you're more in the domestic world. You sort of, you have your radio on, you have your banter.
Yeah, yeah. You're probably arguing with the trades what radio station's on.
I want dance.
Yeah.
I want smooth. If it was smooth back then, there wouldn't have been.
I worked with a guy, and because he was a bit older as well. And when he said the dance music, he couldn't stand the dance music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he was first fixing like these new build houses. And he bought like a DeWalt whatever radio, plonked it in, put classical FM on.
Oh,
exactly. No one would work with him, so he had the house free to himself.
I do look back at that and think that's where maybe health and safety went a little bit mad. But that's for another discussion, health and safety. That's a podcast all on its own.
Definitely.
The death of the trade, health and safety, gone mad. Yes. But I think you're right. I think, and you know, if you think about that, we've just shared some experiences there. If you think about people and our members and wider industry, they're literally, you know, they're running their own businesses. Mm-hmm. They might be a sole trader, might have the stress of maybe an apprentice or an electrical improver with them. And then if you scale that up to medium and bigger size, you imagine, you know, at the top of the tree, running, you know, responsible for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's another massive factor that's causing all that stress. How's that income coming in, supporting your family?
Yeah.
Like you mentioned with yours, you know, you've been at a place for 19 years and suddenly you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to go self-employed. My comfort blanket's gone.
Yes.
That's a massive worry of that income.
I mean, my first boss, he had a few issues with the company growing it. I remember him telling me that he had his house on it. So if the business folded, he lost his house.
Yeah, that's quite a common thing.
I couldn't imagine that stress.
No.
You know, having that weight on your shoulders.
Like,
you want to make sure that the guys that you work with get paid every week.
Yeah.
Because obviously they've got mortgages to pay as well, and not only you've got a mortgage to pay, but you could lose your house if the company.
Massive
stresses.
Yeah, and those stresses are real, because we can't dampen that down where it might be like, oh, I'm feeling low, I'm not myself at the minute, and we're not like saying that's not important to recognise that and do some. But you think about, you know, in the construction industry and maybe amongst electricians and those stresses, that can end up like the suicide rates in the, I haven't got the stats, you know, because they're varied from different organisations, but you think about suicide rates of that, like, oh, I can't bring that income in, I can't support my family. You know, that ends in tragedy for families, doesn't it?
Yeah, massive.
Where they don't see an out.
You might be a sole trader, and then customers, they can be, sometimes they can be great payers.
Yeah,
or not. And
you see, you wonder.
Yeah, and you need that money to pay your wholesalers, your general bills as well. So there's so much that goes on in the construction industry.
Yeah,
especially when you've got your own sort of business, I would say, or sole trader, so to speak.
We need to be supportive and champion these people, don't we?
Yes.
As you mentioned a good point about as you get older, because I think as you get older, you suffer falls less. you're a bit more, but actually you mature in a way, like you said, with your emotional intelligence and looking after yourself. And I think you start to recognise that in other people. You don't become so insular.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got good mates where I live in North Devon, where I'm not saying I'm an expert at it, but I will spot when someone's struggling, and just drop a text, just communicate.
I was just about to say, I think this is important that, you know, if you have got friends out there, you know, and maybe you haven't heard from them or a colleague, just drop them a text,
just check
a quick
in,
call, checking on.
It doesn't have to be a a heart-to-heart, does it? It can be. I've not spoke for a while, buddy. How's things?
That's it. That's
all it takes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, fancy meeting up sometime.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Just letting someone, I think that is a massive thing. I think they're calling it this week, aren't they? Things like check-in or something like that.
Yeah, I saw it on the football at half-time. Yeah. They've done it at a campaign as well. So check-in. I think it all ties into this week as well.
Yeah, I think it's good, yeah.
So I'll probably bring you on to our sort of next question then, Steve, because obviously you're a manager. You're a manager, and there's lots of managers at Napier, obviously, in the organisation. And as we talked about earlier, Napier's really good at having this, what we call a supportive community, that helps colleagues. How does that work in the environment every day? How does that ethos come about?
It's quite easy with you, because I only manage you. We manage a lot of process and things, but I only manage you. So I when I entered this job, I managed no one, and it was like, oh, I don't have to manage staff. But you're easy, because we're very similar, and we get on really well. So I see it as me and you. We've got we collaborate, and the chain of command is not irrelevant, but it is in a way, because we're in this as a team. But I think to answer your general question, and I've seen this at Napier, mm-hmm. I think because of the culture is supportive and inclusive and making sure everybody's okay and we're doing the right thing, is that from my point of view, I would say, and I've seen this with my manager and managers up the chain, is that they're concerned about the whole well-being. You've got a job role, you're employed to do that job and you're paid to do that job, but actually, my manager will check in with me, and we have our monthly meetings face to face. We have our check-ins
we have a weekly conversation.
And we'll probably get in trouble with this when our bosses see it, but we talk about work, we do plan, but we also, how's your weekend been? Yeah. What you been up to? You know, how's the family? How's the little one?
Yes.
And we'll have our band, because we're both support the famous football team, the famous Aston Villa, by the way. We've had an awesome season. We do have those chats. To give you an example, we've got a busy week this week with shows, and we've been doing some recording and stuff like that. But when we went for something to eat and a pint yesterday, we didn't talk work till we had about 1% or 10% of work.
Yeah.
The rest of it, we talked about all kinds of things, didn't we?
I think that's a good thing. Yeah. Sometimes if you do go out with work, the natural conversation would be work, because you've got that in common.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes it is good to say, like, let's not talk shop.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about this life.
What's your favourite chocolate bar? Yeah, what's your favourite packet of crisps?
Yeah. Or what
Chinese or Indian when you go out?
What have you been watching? Conversations like that.
Take your mind off.
Yeah. Sometimes, I get too political, news, religion, that can be but I think just general
life start.
Yes. But Napier, like you said, they're very good at doing stuff like that. I've only been at Napier, coming up to a year soon. But they are very good at that. And like you said, managers do look after the staff as well, checking on them. I've noticed that ethos, and it's quite a family sort of business, even though it's a large business, and I've worked in a family business before. Yeah. So I sort of know the ethos. Mm. Even though it's quite a large business, I still get that community family feel from it.
Definitely had that. It has always had that since I started, and that's what it was built on, really. Mm. And I think even though they're growing, they've never lost that core kind of ethos, like you say, about looking after the person.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you've seen from me, and I, like I said, I've seen it from my managers, and not all employers are like this, is that randomly check in or, support each other, or when we've done something and it's worked well, when we do a presentation, just say, that was great. We always do that after a webinar or something, don't we?
Yeah.
Just, and I think I've got to a situation in life, and I try to bring this into my work life and when I manage or when I just generally work, is I don't want to be a drain on people. Mm. I don't want to be that criticizer. If there's something I need to say to you, we're honest enough to be able to have a conversation, and we have had that.
Yeah.
But actually, what about the times when we champion each other as blokes, especially, and say, do you know what? That was awesome. And last night we was having chats where you were coming up with fresh ideas. I'm thinking, I've never even thought of that. Yeah. That's so cool.
I think that's a good point, because obviously I'm still friends with the electricians that I grew up with through my apprenticeship days. Mm. And obviously as an apprentice, you make mistakes.
Of course you do.
But they always remember the mistakes I made.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember the time you did that?
When I've done something silly, which I probably did as an apprentice. So I've done a fair few things, but I'm talking that we don't remember, when you was on that job and you've done that and you grafted and you got that done for us.
Be proud of
That's a culture we don't have in Britain. You sort of remember your mistakes rather than what you actually do. Well, I think we need to switch that mentality a little bit myself.
I think you're right. I think that can happen in a work environment. And Like I say again, I think at NAPIT we are focusing on people. You know, new ideas, fresh ideas. Does it work? Let's try it.
Yeah.
Let's champion each other and not be radiators rather than drains. Is a phrase my wife would use.
I think that's a brilliant saying. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
And sometimes you need to distance yourself from people in your personal life. Sometimes it's more difficult in work if you've got to work with colleagues, and we get that.
Yeah.
But in your personal life, as I've got older now into my 50s, I'm like saying, you know, sometimes I stay away from certain crowds or people.
The negativity.
Yeah, I can't be dealing with it. Yeah. You get those people in life.
Yeah.
We see it on social media all the time, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're trying to do our best for the industry. You always get people that just want to knock you down.
Yes.
But actually, let's be champions for each other.
Yeah,
and there are people out there that are doing great work.
There are.
And that will improve everybody's mental health.
I think you made it, touched on a really good subject, the social media side, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's really had a big play into mental health as well.
It's horrible for some of these kids these days, you know, the teenagers.
Yeah.
Being in that social media world is cruel, isn't it?
And I think
we never had that.
Yeah, I think, you know, our members, electricians, you know, they want to use that to showcase their work in a positive way, because that's going to be good advertising, what they're doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes some are good and some are bad, and they probably learn a little bit as they're going through their journey on that as well.
But at least they're honest enough to put their work on there and show their mistakes, and sometimes, you know, the trolls will jump on it.
That's what I'm saying. They're letting themselves open for criticism by putting that work on there. Someone's going to criticize, and they're, you know, brave enough to do that. I take my hat off to people like that.
Well, I do as well, say fair play. And if someone wants to point something out, then that's education, isn't it?
Doing it in the right way, actually. You thought about you could have done that there. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's when it's like,
when it's horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the drains.
Yeah, sorry.
Kick them into touch.
Yeah, get rid of them out of your life on there.
So the last one we've got then is, so obviously we've said at the beginning we're supporting the Samaritans this year, but what message do you think is important, Andy, to share with our listeners, especially like we talked about, you know, what would be the key points about we've talked about?
I think from this, it's having open conversations.
Mm.
I think let's not shy away from mental health. It's here.
Yeah.
You know, most people will probably have a little suffering of mental health during their life.
A dip.
Yeah. But that's natural. Could be more than that. And I think it's having conversations, not being like you said at the start, going, I'll just pull through this, I'll just get on with it, you know, I'm all right, you know, keep it bottled up.
Yeah.
There are actually loads of support networks out there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have our conversations. And if you notice someone, or like we said earlier on, maybe just check in with someone.
I think that's the biggest one I'll draw from it. Just check in. All it's need.
You know, they might not be showing it, but you're just reaching out, everything all right, family okay, work okay.
And they might be fine.
They
might be, no, I'm fine.
But you might be, oh, I ain't heard of you for a couple of months. And that's what happens when you get older and you've got, you know, families and work and that. It's hard, can't meet up every week, it'd be nice.
Mm.
It just doesn't happen. And sometimes you don't see your best mate for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And so on. But it's nice to check in every week. And sometimes with WhatsApp groups, they're quite good for that as well.
You can set up a group with each other.
So, reach out, have conversations, I think is what I would take away.
A bit of honesty and maybe some vulnerability, I would say, as well. Because, you know, I think, like we've said, again, doesn't want it to sound like a sexist thing, but I think blokes can be particularly bad at it. But I think we need to get better at it. And like I said, we are getting better at it. And in the workplace, like say, the organisation we for, they do encourage it, which is quite refreshing, really.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to hear, because we're not in the industry no more, or construction sites.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see what's going on in that world now.
Maybe if listeners can drop some comments in to whatever platform.
I think it might have changed now. Yeah. You know, there might be more going on that we're not aware of, and it'd be nice to be sort of, actually, they do this now. That's a good thing.
Toolbox Talks have got a little bit of a spin on that, maybe.
Yes, that's what I was thinking,
It's interesting subjects. We could do an whole 2 hours on this, couldn't we? But definitely. I think we've sort of run out of time for this one. So, Andy, if you want to take us out.
I think that's a perfect end to the show. And I hope these conversations have been really helpful. And I think the theme isn't just for 1 week.
No.
It's for every day. Take this into your everyday life. I think that's a really important message. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone at NAPIT who's took part of all the activities this week.
Oh, massive thank you.
You know, and obviously they'll be doing the walk next Friday, the
23rd.
So I wish everyone good luck on that one on there. And I think if you are struggling, you listen to this, you know, support is out there. You're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone. And we're really proud to be fundraising for the Samaritans. They're a fantastic charity. Everyone knows what they're about. And let's support them and raise some good money for them. I think let's check in with each other, stay connected. Remember, you're never alone.
Mm.
And until next time, thanks for listening. And we're going to use the line to get out with.
Go for it, Andy.
Stay safe, stay grounded, and keep that current flowing.